listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
The Pet Doctor is sponsored by Ellie Mae Pet Supplements. Visit us at battle-cancer.com for more information on how Ellie Mae Supplements can help your dog.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. It's your pet. Health matters. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Welcome to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. I'm Dr. Diane Levitan, and thanks so much for listening today. Today we're going to discuss a very common problem that happens in older cats. It's a disease that's become much more common since the 1980s, and something that's been very difficult to figure out. There turns out to be a good reason why older cats like to eat like crazy or become very thin. They drink tons of water all the time, and their hyperactive behavior keeps us up at night. It's very likely that the symptoms are due to an overactive thyroid gland, which is also called hyperthyroidism. There's a great deal of information on feline hyperthyroidism that's been learned in the last 20 years. What's it from? Why is it so common? And what are the long-term effects on our cats? And most importantly, how can we prevent it? Today, we're extremely privileged to have Dr. Mark Peterson, a veterinary endocrinologist and the first in the world to publish information on this so common and important illness in cats, hyperthyroidism. He's known worldwide for his research and contributions to veterinary medicine and veterinary endocrinology, and is really the go-to person in the world when it comes to feline hyperthyroidism and many other veterinary endocrinology problems as well. It all began when he went to vet school at the University of Minnesota in 1976 and was the class valedictorian, not surprising. After moving to New York City, Dr. Peterson did an internship and medical residency at the Animal Medical Center, the largest animal hospital in the world. Then he did a postdoctoral fellowship in both endocrinology and nuclear medicine at the New York Hospital or Cornell Medical Center. That was completely unheard of for a veterinarian at that time, and it is today too, actually. Dr. Peterson served as the head of endocrinology and nuclear medicine at the Animal Medical Center for over 30 years. In addition, he's held positions as adjunct professor at the School of Veterinary Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania, has been associate professor of the Medical College of Cornell University, and assistant professor of medicine at Cornell University School of Veterinary Medicine. If you want to know more about how privileged we are to have him, listen to this. Dr. Peterson was the first veterinarian to document hyperthyroidism in cats back in 1979 and the first to treat hyperthyroid cats with radioactive iodine in 1980. Additionally, Dr. Peterson was the first person to document a number of new diseases in cats, including acromegaly, hypoparathyroidism, insulinoma, and Addison's disease. As you can imagine, he's received so many awards of recognition for his work that we'd be here all day just listing them. He's had over 15 major international awards. He's also published over 475 journal articles, book chapters, and research abstracts. In 2009, Dr. Peterson opened an office on the Upper West Side of Manhattan in New York City, and now he also has one in Bedford Hills, New York. As you can imagine, there are no other veterinarians out there with this type of expertise, so we're so fortunate to have him as our guest today. What is our topic again today? Is it Dr. Peterson? Oh no, it's actually hyperthyroidism in cats. So please stay tuned. He has so much to share with us about exciting new developments and discoveries about hyperthyroidism right after this break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Did you know cancer is the number one cause of death in dogs? One out of every three dogs is affected by cancer at some point during his lifetime. And half of those dogs affected die. Shocking, isn't it? Symptoms of dog cancer are nonspecific and often lead to a late diagnosis of the disease. But before it reaches an advanced or incurable stage, cancer exhibits mild but recurring symptoms. If you think your dog is losing weight, has a loss of appetite, looking dull and listless, is non-social, or has any sores, swellings, bumps, or lumps, or abnormal growth anywhere, it's time to visit the vet to make sure everything's well. This message is brought to you by Ellie Mae Pet Supplements. Ellie Mae is an animal healthcare company that creates products which focus on improving the overall health and quality of life for your much-loved pet. Visit us at www.battle-cancer.com for more information on dog cancer and how Ellie Mae supplements can help your dog.
At Petco, we really love pets. There isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
"So how do you feel about cat condos?"
we can say from experience,
"Feels like home for her."
Enter the code DOCTOR10, DOCTOR, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Doc. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. I'm Dr. Diane Levitan, veterinary internal medicine specialist, and with us now is veterinary endocrinology specialist, Dr. Mark Peterson. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, Diane, for inviting me to speak today.
I'm really going to let you do most of the talking today, Dr. Peterson. We are really geared up to hear the latest and greatest about hyperthyroidism in cats. I guess it would be best if you just give us your take on what this illness is. I mean, what is hyperthyroidism?
Well, first of all, when we talk about any hormone or endocrine problem, we always talk about hyper diseases and hypo diseases. Hyper simply means that that endocrine gland, the thyroid in this case, is making too much of the hormone, of thyroid hormone. So with hyperthyroidism, we have too much thyroid hormone secreted into the bloodstream, and that causes all the problems that we see.
So do we know what causes it?
What we do know is that all cats have a thyroid tumor. It's almost always benign. It's not malignant, very rarely less than 5%. But the real question is, what's causing these thyroid tumors? This is a new phenomenon in the last 30 or 35 years or so. Until the mid-70s, the late-70s, we didn't see any cats with this. So this appears to be a new disease, and the theory is that it's either something nutritionally. Remember, before 1975, a lot of cats did not get commercial pet foods. They got homemade diets and so forth. So it may be something either deficient or placed in that food that's in excess, or it may be something related to the environment. There's a bunch of environmental chemicals. And some of these people may have heard of, such as the plasticizers. They're called phthalates, and the most common one is called BPA. And this is a plasticizer, and it's present in plastic bottles and so forth, but also in the pop-top lids of cat food. So that's thought to maybe contribute to hyperthyroidism. And then the latest thing, as far as environmental chemicals, there's fire retardants that are present in furniture and computers and plastics, in your sofa, for instance. And there's been a couple studies done that have found high concentrations in house dust. So these concentrations of these chemicals could contribute to hyperthyroidism. And, you know, for us, this could be a problem too. But think about cats. They run around the house, and what do? Every day they clean themselves. So if they have this contaminated house dust on their fur, on their paws, they're going to lick it off and ingest it. So, again, what's causing these tumors, we don't know, but the theory is nutrition really most likely has some role, and then there's environmental chemicals. And it's probably both things added together is what causes thyroid tumors. But these tumors do seem to be developmental. They don't just arise by themselves. Something is causing these tumors.
And I wonder, does it happen in every country or just in the United States?
It's all over the world. It's all over the world. But in the developed countries, again, where they feed cat food, it seems to be more common. But again, in those countries, such as the United States, Japan, Europe, and so forth, you know, if you don't feed your cat food, many times the cat's outside, they may be half feral, and they may not get the veterinary care, so they don't live as long, too. So it may just be in those countries we don't see it as often. It's just that the cats do not live long enough, because this is an older age disease. We do not see very much hyperthyroidism in cats younger than 10.
So if it has to do with the environment and potentially foods that we're feeding, how come we only see it in cats?
Very good question. We do see hyperthyroidism in dogs, but it's a whole different disease. There is always thyroid cancer. It's very rare. In 1 year, I see around 300 hyperthyroid cats a year that I treat, and I see about 2 dogs a year with thyroid cancer with hyperthyroidism. So that's different, and I don't think diet is causing it in the dogs. We certainly see a lot of hyperthyroidism in people. It's a very common disease in people, but usually, again, the pathogenesis is a bit different. Most people with hyperthyroidism do not have a tumor. They have what's called Graves' disease, which is an autoimmune problem where there's no tumors involved. But there is a subset of hyperthyroidism in older people called toxic nodular goiter. Toxic means hyperthyroidism. Nodular means nodular, like a benign tumor. And goiter just means enlargement of the thyroid gland. And that toxic nodular goiter in those older people is actually very, very similar to what we're seeing in the hyperthyroid cats. So again, what's causing toxic nodular goiter in those older people? We don't know. I mean, maybe it's the same dietary issues, the same environmental chemicals. Maybe the cats are acting as, quote, sentinels for us, and we're all going to get thyroid tumors as we go along and get older.
Wow. Okay. Now you're scaring me. No, just kidding. So what are the symptoms? And does every animal have the same symptoms, or people and animals? Or let's just stick to cats?
What hyperthyroidism does, it increases the metabolic rate. It accelerates everything in the body. So the thing we see most commonly and most consistently is weight loss. And the reason that happens is they're burning up more energy than they can eat. Their metabolic rate goes up. So they're eating very well, and despite the fact their appetite many times goes up, they lose weight. So initially, in most cats when they get middle age, at least in the United States, are overfed a little bit. Their energy requirements during middle age start to go down, so they get a little obese. They're good body flesh. So many of these owners have been told by their veterinarian that they should lose weight, so they're on a diet. It's not working. All of a sudden, the cat starts to lose weight. They look better because they're eating fine, but they're eating this reducing diet or this diet food, but they're losing weight. At the same time, the metabolic rate causes them to be more active. They have tons of energy. In other words, too much thyroid hormone in some ways is like taking catecholamines or adrenaline, or like amphetamines even, like which is a diet pill too. It speeds things up. So these cats have plenty of energy. So now this old cat that used to sleep all day now is running around with plenty of energy. So here you have this cat that's been overweight, starts to lose weight, which the owners have been trying to do, and it's not been worked up to this point. That looks good. And the cat now, he's been sleeping all day, now he has more energy. That looks good. So initially, these are positive signs. The owner says, wow, this is great. But then things progress. Cat loses more and more weight. They start to lose muscle mass, especially over their back. If you pet your cat now, you can feel that they're bony up there on top, because many times they'll keep their belly, at least initially, but they have muscle mass and muscle wasting over their back. That's a fairly early sign that they're losing too much muscle, because thyroid hormone breaks things down. It's catabolic. It eats up the energy that cat does. When there's not enough calories taken in, it starts to break down the muscle and the fat. So as things go on, we see more and more weight loss. We can see this anxiety or nervousness because they now are more active. They can get very anxious, especially in certain situations like the visit to a vet. If you put your hand over their heart, you may feel that the heart rate is pounding because thyroid hormone makes the heart rate increase. They may get some vomiting or diarrhea. They may get an increase in thirst, increased urination. They may pant sometimes, especially during stressful situations. Their hair coat may just not look off. May look off with times, and it may be unkempt with excess shedding and so forth. So overall, initially the signs look good, but these are progressive because this tumor that's present in the thyroid gland continues to grow, makes more and more thyroid hormone, and these are progressive signs, and in the end, these are bad signs. So usually people come in and they say, initially I thought it was fine, but now my cat is losing too much weight, and he eats too much and too fast, and he throws everything up, and something is wrong. And if we wait too long and don't do any treatment, this will eventually lead to the demise of the cat. They can develop heart disease, heart failure, kidney disease, and kidney failure. And eventually they will die, and it's a horrible death because these just cats just basically eat up their body because they're using all the muscle and everything in the body to try to survive. So it's really recommended that we treat these cats.
Yeah, so our signs that we're looking for would be weight loss, increased activity. You had mentioned drinking lots of water, anxiety, nervousness. So all of those things are things that certainly would be an obvious behavior change in a cat. So how would somebody find out if their cat has it?
Well, this is a very common disease, and every veterinarian in the United States has seen tons of these cats over the years now. So any cat that's greater than 10 years of age should be examined at least once, if not twice a year, by the veterinarian. And at least once a year, they should have some screening blood tests, including a complete blood count, a biochemical profile, a urinalysis is always nice, but also a thyroid test. A screening thyroid test, what we call a T4, is a very sensitive and useful test to detect hypothyroidism. So that's right. One. On examination, when the vet looks at the cat, every year when you take them to the veterinarian, they should be weighing the cat, so they're going to notice that there's been weight loss. On physical examination, they can detect the muscle atrophy or the muscle wasting we talked about. They'll listen to the heart rate is fast. Heart murmurs are common. They may notice that. And then finally, when they feel the neck area where the thyroid gland is, at least when I feel the cat, I'm able to palpate an enlargement of the thyroid gland, feel that thyroid tumor in virtually all the cats. But even if your veterinarian doesn't pick that up, the diagnosis can be made on the blood test or confirmed in the blood test. So it's an easy diagnosis to make.
That's something good to hear. We have to take a break here, but we'll continue learning about hyperthyroidism, what more for testing, what to do about it if our cats have it, how to monitor our cats while being treated, and what we can do to prevent it, and much more when we come right back from this commercial break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
The Boo Boo Loon Pet Recovery Collar is an innovative inflatable product that comfortably restricts pets from harming most surgical wounds, skin disorders, and obsessive licking or scratching. It's the humane alternative to the hard plastic cone and other devices. The Boo Boo Loon is easy to use and designed to be soft, fully adjustable, and pillow-like, allowing for unrestricted vision and complete freedom of movement. Sizes range from extra small to extra large. So join the Boo Boo Lution. Become a Boo Boo Buddy on Facebook or check out booboo-loon.com. booboloon.com.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
The Pet Doctor is sponsored by Ellie Mae Pet Supplements. Ellie Mae is an animal healthcare company that creates products which focus on improving the overall health and quality of life for your much-loved pet. Visit us at www.battle-cancer.com for more information on dog cancer and how Ellie Mae supplements can help your dog.
Hi, everybody. I'm Megan Blake here with my sidekick, Super Smiley, the giant mutt and spokes dog for throwaways. You're listening to Pet Life Radio, and I'd like to tell you about our brand new show, A Super Smiley Adventure. Our show explores adventures with animals. They can be traveling, out-in-the-world trips, or inner journeys where our animals lead us to inspiration and self-discovery, or just plain, fun adventures. Join us here on Pet Life Radio on A Super Smiley Adventure. Good boy.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
We're back, and we're glad you waited because we have with us one of the nicest and most famous veterinary specialists you'll ever hear. It's Dr. Mark Peterson, veterinary endocrinologist, discussing the details of hyperthyroidism, how to recognize it, who gets it, and why, and now what do we do about it? We've already learned so much, and they say you don't get reliable information from the internet. But back to business. What choices do we have, Dr. Peterson, as pet owners? First of all, if our cat is diagnosed with hyperthyroidism, do we have to treat it?
Unless the cat is borderline hyperthyroidism or has borderline hyperthyroidism where the thyroid is just in the high normal or just slightly high normal range, it's a good idea to treat it. Because this disease is not going to go into remission. It's not going to go away. The thyroid tumor will continue to grow and the metabolic rate will continue to go up. The cat will continue to lose weight. And all these other secondary complications will occur. So there's no advantage to waiting in most of these cats. So it's always a good idea to treat it.
Okay, so now that we know we really should treat it, what are the possible ways to treat it? Now, I know there are quite a number of them, so we'll be patient as you fill us in, and I might interrupt you with some questions in between if that's okay.
Sure. There's three accepted ways to treat it. The first way is with medical treatment. In people, this is used commonly for Graves' disease, which is this common way to treat it, and the reason to use it for there is in those patients, about half of those patients with Graves' disease, the most common cause of hyperthyroidism in people, they will go into remission. In cats, our cats never go into remission because there's a tumor there, so it's a bit different than in people. But we do use these drugs many times, at least on a short-term basis, and we'll talk about that more later. But many cats get treated with this on a long-term basis too chronically. And it works okay. It works pretty well. So I would say that's the most common cause or the most common way to treat, even long-term.
So you mean with pills? You're talking about pills?
Well, you can either give pills, which is the most common way, or if you can't give pills, or if the cat has side effects, especially vomiting from the pills, which is pretty common, we can also use a transdermal form where we get a little cream or a paste and we usually put it on the cat's pinna or the earlobe and it gets absorbed that way. So that's the other way we can use.
That would be for life, right?
That's for life. And again, okay. The problems with this type of treatment, again, and this is the reason they don't use it in people for this way, it doesn't cure. It's not curing anything. The tumor remains. It's still there. The tumor continues to grow. And I didn't mention this before. Some of these benign tumors, if they've been there long enough, this usually takes 2 years, 3 years, 5 years to happen, they start to transform and they become more of a malignant tumor. And that's a problem. So I saw three cats this week where that happened. So they've been hyperthyroid for 3 to 5 years, these three cats, and now we have to treat them differently because they're starting to get these thyroid cancers. So because of this, I would say the medical treatment works, but it's not the ideal treatment. It's not the one we'd like to do because it's not a cure.
Okay.
So that's the first treatment. The second treatment, of course, is surgery. We can go in surgically and remove this thyroid tumor. And surgery is a great treatment. It really does because it cures. When we do that, we usually put them on the medical treatment for a while, usually 2 to 4 weeks at least, to try to get that cat ready for surgery. In other words, we don't want to take the cat to surgery when the metabolic rate is up, when the heart rate is very, very fast, when there's a heart murmur, when all these other problems happen. That's going to be dangerous because of the anesthesia that's needed. The other problem with surgery is in most cats, the whole thyroid gland is involved. So when we go in and do surgery and move the whole thyroid gland, the surgery itself would not be difficult except we have these other little glands lying around the thyroid gland and actually or within the thyroid gland called the parathyroid. Para means around. Parathyroid glands, even though they have the word thyroid in, don't have anything to do with thyroid function, but they control the calcium level in the blood. So if those little parathyroid glands are removed by mistake at surgery, the cat will develop a low calcium, and that's very serious because the calcium drops too low. That causes weakness, tetany, where the muscles all twitch, seizures, and without treatment, they'll die. So that basically means that after surgery, we have to monitor those cats carefully, and if they do get a low calcium, that usually means that we're treating them with vitamin D and calcium over a period of a couple months.
So secondary problems definitely can occur because of surgery.
Yeah. So because of the problems with the parathyroids, you know, surgery is fine. Surgery really works well, except because of that, it's kind of lost favor with many veterinarians. And that's because of the third option. The third option, you know, we have medicine, we have surgery. The third option is called radioactive iodine. And because of radioactive iodine, most people that want definitive treatment, that want to cure the disease, go with that rather than surgery. The advantages of the radioactive iodine is we don't really have to use any medicine to get them ready. We don't have to worry about anesthesia because there isn't any. We don't have to worry about the parathyroid glands being damaged because we're not doing surgery and they won't be damaged. The treatment with radioactive iodine is very simple. When I do it, we just give a subcutaneous injection, just like a vaccine to a cat. So it's a small volume. It doesn't hurt them. Then they stay with me for generally 3 to 7 days, so a few days. And the reason they stay is what we're administering is a radioactive substance. The way radioactive iodine works, just backing up a little bit about physiology, normally we all need iodine in our bodies. And one reason we need that iodine is to make thyroid hormone. When we measure thyroid hormone, and we're talking about measuring the hormones, T4 is the main thyroid hormone. That 4 means that there's 4 iodine groups in T4. So normally we eat our food, or the cat eats the diet, there's iodine in the food, it gets absorbed from the intestinal tract, circulates in the bloodstream, and the thyroid has a special pump on the surface that says I1 iodine, and it collects and concentrates the iodine from the bloodstream and takes it into the thyroid. And then it takes that iodine and makes it into thyroid hormone. So that's the iodine's needed to make thyroid hormone. So with this radioactive iodine, we take the natural iodine, we make it radioactive now, though. We inject that. I mean, we could have people would normally take it by mouth, and we could do that, but it's hard to get a cat to take a pill or swallow a liquid. So we don't do it that way. It's easier to give it by injection. That radioactive iodine now absorbs through the body, circulates through the body. Again, that pump on the thyroid tumor now, that iodine pump concentrates that iodine, which is now radioactive. The thyroid tumor can't tell the difference between normal iodine in the diet that's not radioactive or the radioactive iodine. That iodine gets concentrated by that tumor, and when it's being made into thyroid hormone, the radioactivity is released, and it destroys a tumor. So in effect, we're using physiology, we're using nature to get that radioactive material to the tumor and destroy it. So we're using like a localized, directed form of chemotherapy. That's the best way to think about it.
Well, that's
a one-shot deal.
One-shot deal and so safe, right?
Yep.
Well, so far it sounds to me like it's pretty much of a no-brainer that radioactive iodine, being as safe as it is and directed treatment, seems like the best. So I'm very curious now because a new thing has recently come out by Hill's Pet Food Company that's a diet. And you did talk about dietary control to some extent, or that diet may be involved. But Hill's Pet Food is claiming that it has a diet that will treat hyperthyroidism alone. In other words, without any medication. And I find that maybe very hard to believe. Can you comment on that for us, Dr. Peterson?
Yeah, I was a consultant for Hill's. I've been to the facility. I saw their facility. I saw the cats being fed this diet and looked at all the data. So this diet does work. What they've done with this diet is basically remove the iodine. Remember I talked about the radioactive iodine, that you needed the iodine to make thyroid hormone. So what they've done with this diet is just remove it. So it's an iodine-deficient diet. It's lower than what normal cats would need, and you would not ever want to feed this to a normal cat. This should only be fed to a hypothyroid cat. The problem with the diet, in my mind, I don't like it, to be honest. I have seven major problems with it. First of all, like the medicine, it's not a cure. It just controls it. You have to give only this diet and no other food alone. You can't give a treat. You can't give a flavored antibiotic or anything else because there is iodine in all the foods in a low concentration. And this is nature's way of providing iodine to that thyroid because iodine is needed in a normal cat. So that's number one. It doesn't cure it. Number two, the cat has to only eat this food, no other food. No other food at all. So if you have multiple cat households, that's a problem. Number three, if you stop the diet, the hypothyroid is going to come back. It's not cured. Number four, the company, they're treating this diet as it's a drug. They're saying you can take them off the medicine and use this instead. But because it's a diet, they haven't been required to do the long-term safety studies. So we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen to these hyperthyroid cats after a year or two or three or longer. And then the other thing is, we don't know what iodine does. Iodine has other functions than just thyroid function. Remember I talked about those little iodine pumps in the thyroid that concentrate iodine. They're not just present on the thyroid gland. That iodine pump is present in the salivary glands, in the stomach, in the breast tissue, in the eye. There's other places that concentrate iodine also. So we don't know what's going to happen to this hyperthyroid cat on this diet long term. Finally, the biggest reason I don't like the diet is the composition of the diet. It's a low protein, fairly high carbohydrate diet. That's totally against what nature wants. Nature wants a high protein, low carb diet. And the reason this is important is that these cats, as we talked about, have muscle wasting. They're losing their muscle. So we need to provide these cats with protein to put that muscle back on. So I'm just concerned that we're not going to be able to get this muscle back on with this diet. These are mostly, there is some meat protein in this, but a lot of the protein in the diets are vegetable protein. And again, this is a whole other conversation, but I like to feed cats animal protein because cats are carnivores. In the wild, cats eat rodents and mice and birds and insects and stuff with animal protein. They don't go to the cornfield and munch on corn or eat grass, right? So that's what they're meant to eat. So that's the main reason I don't like the diets. Maybe I'm going to change my mind in a few years if the safety is finally proven and they do more studies. But the company has no financial incentive to do these studies. They've just thrown them out there and they said, you veterinarians, you use them. Let's figure it out if they're safe. I'm just really, really concerned. And we'd already talked about the diet. We know that iodine deficiency in a normal cat could potentially cause thyroid pathology and probably will cause hyperthyroidism. So you certainly do not want to feed this to your normal cat.
Wow. Well, the jury definitely is out on this one, I would say. So far, it really seems like radioactive iodine is the way to go and makes it seem like it's not such a bad disease after all, since we are able to manage it. Dr. Peterson, we really are out of time, but I have so many more questions for you. Maybe we'll take this up again on another day.
I really thank you so much for all this fabulous information. And of course, thank our producer, Mark Winter, for making this show possible. You can learn a lot more about Dr. Peterson by going to his excellent website. There's so much information there. The website is called animalendocrine.com. That's animalendocrine.com. If you have additional questions for Dr. Peterson or for me, Dr. Diane Levitan, just go to petliferadio.com. Click on the Pet Doctor. If you have any other questions, comments, or ideas for our show, email me at thepetdoctor@petliferadio.com. It's been my pleasure to guest host the Pet Doctor, and I hope you hear from me again soon.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.